So this concept is actually pretty easy if you've encountered it before, which is that patients who have autoimmune diseases, e.g. systemic lupus erythematosus, inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, these patients often take exogenous corticosteroids to treat their conditions, such as prednisone. So patients who are taking prednisone, they will have a suppressed adrenal gland and will be producing decreased amounts of cortisol endogenously. So if they go in and have surgery, they're unable to mount a stress response and secrete their own cortisol, and they will end up consuming the exogenous glucocorticoid that they've had administered. So during surgery, they can get a sudden drop in blood pressure, and they are going to need exogenous glucocorticoid in order to restore their blood pressure. Now, you might be saying, wait, I don't understand the actual like physiologic mechanism. Can you explain this? No problem. Now, it comes down to knowing what the role of cortisol actually is in maintaining blood pressure. Cortisol is going to function to upregulate alpha-1 receptors on peripheral arterioles, which then norepinephrine and epinephrine, the catecholamines, can bind to those alpha-1 receptors, induce peripheral vasoconstriction, and maintain basal blood pressure. So if I were to say to you, like, how does cortisol actually maintain blood pressure? You're like, oh, no fucking idea. Well, cortisol is permissive of the effects of catecholamines. It's not synergistic, it's not additive, it's not like cortisol is binding to its own receptor and directly causing an increase in blood pressure. It's that cortisol is a steroid hormone. It's going to bind to an intracytoplasmic receptor, upregulate gene transcription, cause increased expression of those alpha-1 receptors on the vascular endothelium, and then that permits norepinephrine and epinephrine, the catecholamines, to do their job. So if this patient has a deficiency of glucocorticoid, cannot produce cortisol on his or her own, then is prone to a precipitous drop in blood pressure, cannot mount a stress response during surgery. So the answer here is hydrocortisone, okay? Looking at some of the other answer choices, dobutamine, that is a beta-1 agonist that can stimulate the heart. That is classically used in stress testing. Dobutamine echo is a classic type of stress test that can be done. Stress test just determines the patient's exercise tolerance for ischemia. There's other types of stress tests, such as an ECG exercise stress test. But dobutamine, if you take home one factoid about that, you just say it's a beta-1 agonist, and it can be used in stress testing with echo, classically. Now, dopamine, obviously tons to talk about regarding agonism, antagonism, but dopamine in terms of the cardiovascular system, it actually can bind to all of the receptors, dopamine 1 and 2, and alpha-1, alpha-2, beta-1, beta-2. So at increasing doses, it binds more to the alpha and beta receptors, but at lower doses, it'll just bind to its own receptors, D1 and D2. So dopamine can increase blood pressure. There is an NBME question floating around where they say that someone with septic shock was treated with dopamine and the blood pressure goes up, and they say why, and they have all the receptors listed, and the answer is alpha-1. It's the effect on the alpha-1 receptors that can actually restore blood pressure, which is an interesting NBME question, truthfully, because if you have to choose a drug in a vacuum to treat septic shock after you give the saline infusion, it's going to be norepinephrine, not dopamine. But the USMLE, this particular USMLE question I just mentioned, for one reason or another, they asked about dopamine in that setting. Epinephrine, that's going to be the answer for anaphylactic shock. Okay, so that would agonize the alpha-1, alpha-2, beta-1, beta-2. But it's not going... Same with norepinephrine here. Epinephrine and norepinephrine are not going to be able to do their job as catecholamines if cortisol or glucocorticoid is not there to upregulate the alpha-1 receptors. Now, norepinephrine will bind to alpha-1, alpha-2, beta-1. It does not bind to beta-2. But nevertheless, this patient is going to need glucocorticoid for those alpha-1 receptors to be expressed. That will enable epinephrine and norepinephrine endogenously to simply do their job and maintain the basal blood pressure in this patient. Okay, high yield. I did a bit of an extended audio on this one. There's a lot to talk about, but this concept very, very important for the step. This often blindsides students. We're like, whoa, what the fuck? Like hydrocortisone, such a weird answer. I know, but just autoimmune disease. Okay, and if they tell you the patient's treated with prednisone, that's friendly, truthfully. They don't have to say it. And in this case, I didn't mention it. Okay, that's it.